Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really going to cut through the noise. We're focusing on just one really potent piece of research you've brought to us. It feels a bit like a crystal ball for the housing market, doesn't it? Pinpointing this key signal for future supply.
That's exactly right. Yeah, we're drilling down into this specific excerpt. It's titled Land Demand Collapse and Future Home Construction.
Okay.
And, you know, what it does is it synthesizes some pretty complex developer behavior into, well, one quite stark warning.
And it is stark. The thesis is so direct. Collapse in land demand may slow future new home construction. Full stop.
Yeah.
So we're not getting lost in, you know, daily mortgage rate swings or consumer feelings today. This is about the fundamental plumbing, right? The supply chain itself. Our mission here is to really understand why this connection is so strong and, well, what it tells us about the economic pipeline maybe years out.
And look, for anyone tracking the big economic indicators, this finding is, well, it's essential stuff. Land demand is a true leading indicator. It shows us what the big national home builders, the developers, what they're actually committing capital to, or in this case, what they're stepping back from. And it shows it long before you see it in, say, the official housing start numbers.
Okay, let's unpack this then. If buying land is step one, the absolute precursor to building, what does collapse actually signify here? I mean, it sounds dramatic. It's surely more than just, you know, fewer deals happening.
Oh, absolutely. It signifies a strategic halt, a major pause, not just a slow drift downwards.
A halt.
Yeah. See, when developers buy land, they're buying inventory, essentially. Inventory that won't generate any return for, what, 18 months? Maybe longer?
Right.
And that whole process is hugely capital intensive. They're using debt. Often it's pretty high cost, short term debt to land bank, as they call it.
So hang on. When they start buying, is it more about the cost of that capital, that debt you mentioned, rather than maybe a lack of current buyers for finished houses?
That's a huge part of it. Yes. Right. If you dig into the core causes, the main friction point right now is financing. If high interest rates push the cost of that development capital, you know, the money they borrow to buy and hold the land above a certain point, holding that land just becomes unprofitable. It doesn't pencil out.
Right.
So why would a major builder tie up, I don't know, hundreds of millions today in raw dirt if the cost of borrowing makes the whole project look uneconomic 2 years down the line?
Makes sense.
So the collapse is, it's a direct and probably painful reflection of those high carrying costs and the worry about future profit margins just eroding.
Okay, but let me push back slightly. You hear that builders often sit on, you know, huge amounts of land already, their existing inventory.
Land banking.
Right. So couldn't they just be sort of drawing that down, waiting for prices or rates to get better maybe? Does it have to signal complete pessimism about the market?
That's a really crucial distinction, and it's important for you, the listener, to grasp this. Yes, land banking does give them some buffer, some cushion. But the sheer scale implied by the word collapse suggests it's more than just inventory management. It suggests they're actively starving the future pipeline.
Starving the future pipeline.
Okay. Think about it. New residential projects, they need specific things. Contiguous tracts of land, often in certain high growth areas.
Right.
If they aren't buying those critical new parcels today, they're essentially putting a cap on their own growth potential 2 years from now. The source material really emphasizes this isn't just the normal ebb and flow of the market.
It's different.
It's a sudden, drastic withdrawal of capital from the land market.
That distinction really clarifies how severe this warning is. It sounds like they see future profits as so uncertain that they're picking cash preservation over fighting for future market share.
That's it, exactly. It's the developers basically saying, look, the math just doesn't work right now. We're turning off the input feed.
Wow. Okay. So if the land buying brakes are being slammed on today, let's shift to the mechanics of that lag you mentioned.
Yeah, the delay.
If the prediction is slowing future new home construction, what's the kind of anatomy of that delay? Because this is where it gets really interesting, right? The effect isn't immediate. It's held up by, well, bureaucracy and just the sheer complexity of building stuff.
The lag is, well, it's baked in. It's mandated by the physical realities of turning a patch of raw dirt into a functioning community. We're not talking about, you know, a 6 week shipping delay for widgets.
Yeah.
This is a fundamental development cycle with really strict time consuming steps. Milestones.
Okay, walk us through those milestones then. What's actually happening during those, say, 12 to 24 months that makes this slowdown basically unavoidable if the land isn't bought?
Right. So once the land is acquired, assuming it is, the clock immediately starts on entitlement. That's getting all the necessary approvals from the local government.
The red tape part.
Pretty much. You've got zoning changes, environmental reviews, maybe public hearings, securing permits for how dense the housing can be, sorting out infrastructure. That alone can easily take months, often a year, or even more in some places with really complex rules.
And there's no skipping that step for a developer, right?
Huh.
Even if consumer demand for houses is suddenly sky high.
Impossible. Just can't do it. Then, after entitlement, you finally move to what's called horizontal development.
Horizontal call.
Okay, this is all the expensive, kind of invisible work that has to happen before a single house foundation gets poured. We're talking installing sewer lines, water mains, gas lines, the electric grid, paving roads. You have to build the entire community's skeleton, basically, from scratch.
Right. All the stuff underground or flat on the ground.
Exactly. Costly and time-consuming.
So, okay, let me connect the dots here.
Right.
If this collapse means a developer didn't buy the raw land back in, say, 2024, then they absolutely cannot be getting that land entitled in 2025. No way. And they certainly won't be finishing the horizontal work needed to even start vertical construction, building the actual houses, until, what, late 2025, maybe even into 2026?
That's the lack.
So the pipeline for those specific future houses is effectively empty right now.
Yeah.
It's waiting for land purchases that haven't happened.
That is the critical insight for you, the learner. The slowdown in new housing starts that we might see reported in, say, 2026. It won't be some sudden shock.
No?
It will be a direct lagged consequence of this collapse in land buying that we're seeing signs of today. This makes the current land purchasing data a genuine predictor of future housing availability. That's invaluable foresight.
It really is a powerful forecasting tool because it tells us that future housing supply, at least a chunk of it, is sort of already locked in. It's determined, regardless of what mortgage rates do next week or next month.
Precisely. Even if rates were to plummet tomorrow and suddenly buyers flooded the market wanting new homes 6 months from now, developers simply wouldn't have the buildable entitled lots ready to meet that surge if they didn't buy the land beforehand. The constraint was introduced way upstream at the very beginning.
That leads us perfectly into thinking about the broader implications then. Okay, obviously fewer new homes get built and sold. But if we connect this to the bigger picture, what else does a potentially long-term land demand collapse signal for the wider economy?
This is where you start seeing the ripple effects spread out. It's definitely not just a housing story. It becomes a major constraint on local economies, too.
How so?
Well, think about municipal services. Your local towns and counties, they rely quite heavily on things like permitting fees, utility connection fees, and especially the increased property tax revenue that new construction brings in.
Ah, right, the tax base grows.
Exactly. So if that land pipeline runs dry or runs very low, that future revenue stream for the local government also starts to dry up.
Which suggests potential budget headaches. Maybe delays in public works projects, schools, roads, things like that, especially in areas that were counting on housing growth to fund their expansion.
Absolutely possible, yes. And then think about the labor market.
But
If builders aren't acquiring land today, they are, maybe implicitly, signaling a significantly lower demand for skilled construction workers. You know, framers, electricians, plumbers, the folks operating heavy equipment, but 18 months or so from now.
right, because the work simply won't be there if the land wasn't prepped.
Correct. So this future softening in the construction labor market, it's an economic projection you can make based almost entirely on this current land market signal.
It's really quite fascinating how this one single input, buying raw land, which feels so preliminary, can act as such a constraint on so many things further down the line. Municipal budgets, jobs in the trades, and ultimately future housing affordability, too.
And that's what the source material really forces us to reckon with. It suggests the supply side is the dominant bottleneck right now.
Not demand.
Not primarily demand, no. It confirms that the future rate of housing growth looks like it will be severely constrained by this lack of land development. And, you know, if housing growth slows down significantly, but population growth continues,
Yeah.
the inevitable result is more pressure on the existing home inventory, which could potentially just drive up prices and rents even further, especially in already tight metro areas.
So basically, the current mood or calculation of developers,
Yeah.
their apparent lack of confidence in the future profitability of turning raw land into finished lots is kind of setting the stage for potentially longer inventory shortages and maybe even making affordability issues worse down the line.
That's the core takeaway, I think.
Yes.
The finding really highlights that crucial link between where developers are putting their capital today or not putting it and what's ultimately available for consumers tomorrow. It confirms that the very foundation of future housing growth seems to be under some serious pressure.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to summarize the key insight for you listening, this collapse or potential collapse in land demand today is probably the clearest, earliest predictor we have of a significant slowdown in new construction coming down the pike.
Uh-huh.
You really need to be tracking this specific data point, maybe even more than the monthly housing start numbers themselves.
It genuinely feels like the essential signal right now. It's the canary in the coal mine for future supply.
So what does this all mean? Okay, if a collapse in land buying today is a reliable indicator for a construction slowdown 18, maybe 24 months out, the critical next question, the thing to really think about, is the long-term risk. What if this land demand collapse isn't just a blip? What if it persists for, say, multiple quarters, maybe even a year or two? Does that fundamentally reset the baseline for how many homes the U.S. can build for the next decade? You know, regardless of whether we see future booms in consumer demand.
That's the multi-billion dollar question, isn't it?
Right. That question really dictates whether this is just a temporary, maybe recession-related dip, or if it signals a longer-term structural shift in how fast America can actually build housing.
Yeah.
And that is the layer we really need to keep exploring.
Agreed.
Well, thank you for joining us for this deep dive into what's happening at the very start of the home construction pipeline. We'll see you next time.